Some people need to be scared.
Oh my God.
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt, and we're about to delve into some really bad parenting.
Jamie, are you down to clown?
I am so down to clown. This is either a documentary about somebody's worst nightmare or their dream job.
It's also a documentary that is a lie.
It's like part documentary, part elaborate prank.
Yeah, and I had feelings about it.
I have feelings about it and you for selecting this delightful treat to torture your wife of 22 years with. First, we should probably tell people what this documentary is.
We watched Wrinkles the Clown, a result of me going dumpster diving and trying to find the worst thing possible to watch on Hulu.
And you succeeded because this is terrible. But I have to be honest, you either watch this because you're a little bit scared of clowns, or you watch this because you're kind of interested in scaring small children.
We open with footage of a van driving around, and there's like a mysterious figure behind the wheel, and we hear from Officer Ken, who looks like Dana Scully's dad. He's afraid that something is going on that is going to stoke all this fear. And people are going to freak out and this frenzy is going to take over.
And it's not about COVID.
Right. And then we get the YouTube video that started all of this.
You see security camera footage of a kid in bed. You see the sliding drawer that's under her bed slowly roll out. And a clown is revealed to be inside this drawer. Then the clown climbs out of the drawer and goes and disables the security camera. And I'm just thinking, like, there is no way this is real footage.
It feels pretty obviously faked.
And then we're told that this takes place in Florida, and this is the only place that this could take place.
Yeah, I thought that as well. There are stickers for Wrinkles the Clown all over the place, on dumpsters, on phone booths, public restroom hand dryers. He's got this deformed, melted-looking face and just big, dark, black eyes. And we learn that Wrinkles will terrorize naughty children for cash.
Which I also volunteered to do. I did not know that this was a job that a person could have. Now that I do know, sign me up.
It's an interesting side hustle.
I would be so good at this, y'all. I might even terrorize your children for free.
What would you do to children? Because you're not a scary person.
You just have to have a scary voice, I think, if you're terrorizing them over the phone. But you know I have great makeup skills.
And you're certainly capable of generating a withering stare.
That has been proven to be true.
You're just going to run around giving children dirty looks?
When we go to the grocery store, the little kids look at you like, oh, yay, and giggle. And they look at me and they're like, oh, dear God.
That's not true. One of the things that we hear over and over throughout this documentary is Wrinkles' outgoing voicemail message.
Over and over.
Hi, you reach Wrinkles the Clown. I'm not here to take your call. Leave me a message, I'll call you back.
If you took a shot every time you heard this message, you would be dead before the halfway point of the documentary.
Yes. Yep. You would not be able to legally drive within 5 minutes.
Wrinkles has made national media, The Tonight Show, The Late Late Show, and then it ends with a clip from the police department leaving a message for Wrinkles telling him, if anybody sees you on Halloween night, you're going to be arrested on sight.
Is that legal? Can you arrest someone for being in costume on Halloween? But then we meet Christopher, who is a big fan of Wrinkles.
I love what he's doing. It brings a spark. An energy to the neighborhood. You can't be afraid of Jason. It's fiction. You can't be afraid of, you know, that character. But you better be afraid of Wrinkles. He's real.
Like, dude, I'm
That's what awesome. He's real.
he's hepped up. I mean, he's basically jumping up and down and clapping his hands. He's like a 250-pound man who's like the most excited anyone has ever been about a clown.
To me, it's a weird thing to embrace.
I guess if you're an adult and you're sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge in on the fact that it's like he's not really going around and killing people. Yeah, it's kind of fun that he's adding a spark to the neighborhood.
I don't know if spark is the right word, because the next part of this documentary explores how problematic it is to use wrinkles as a form of disciplining your child.
Using wrinkles is just like using J. Walter Weatherman to educate your children. Just picture like a one-armed man pulling an elaborate prank, and then when he's done, he says something like,
"That's why you always leave a note."
We hear some voicemails that Wrinkles has received. One of the parents calls his kids, and I quote, "little motherfuckers."
This is some excellent parenting.
If you're to the point where you're calling Wrinkles to discipline your child, I think you've already lost.
Yep, game's over.
Wrinkles says that he won't show his face to the camera. They're being very careful to not show his face.
Yes.
And we meet a child in Jonesboro, Georgia, named Kayla.
And Kayla's like maybe 3 or 4.
The juxtaposition of scaring this cute child just really pissed me off.
Right?
Kayla says that if she's bad, Wrinkles will come and eat her while she sleeps.
Right.
Because Kayla's dad has said in his voicemail to Wrinkles that he wants Wrinkles to come and eat Kayla.
How is this kid not going to grow up scarred?
He doubles down. He says that this is not child abuse. And he says that Wrinkles contributes to society.
Yes.
By giving parents another way to bring their kids in line and discipline them.
This is like the darkest timeline for Elf on the Shelf. That creepy elf, when it grows old, it is Wrinkles who's just, "I'm going to eat you."
Yeah. Taking our side of this is George Holden, who's a professor and chair of psychology at Southern Methodist University. And he talks about how calling Wrinkles is a bit misguided. He calls it psychological mistreatment, which is a form of child abuse.
Yes. But then it cuts back into Antonio, who's like, "it's better than spanking because spanking leaves a mark."
Yeah.
Your kid's probably going to scream every time it goes past a McDonald's. And this is better to you than a swat on the bottom.
It keeps your kid from wanting to eat garbage fast food, I guess. Like, they're not going to want to go play in that little playground.
That ball pit is just going to totally be off their radar.
That's the last we see of Caleb.
That sounds ominous.
Well, that's the last we see of Kayla alive.
Right.
But then we cut over to Lubbock, Texas, and we meet Jarrett.
Oh, boy.
Jarrett leaves a message for Wrinkles.
"Hey, Wrinkles. I love clowns. I love everything. Clowns inspire me. Call me back. Leave me a message. Text me anything."
Every time we cut back to Jarrett, we're going to get another piece of evidence that is one day going to be submissible in court. Right. Jarrett doesn't say it like this, but this is what he says. "Some people need to be scared."
Oh my God.
The one thing that I will say in Jarrett's defense is that he enjoys being scared. And so he's saying, well, if people are sad, scaring them will make them a little happier.
Right.
No, it will make them scared.
I mean, I think there probably is some psychology for why people like horror movies and stuff like that, but this kid.
The next kid that we meet in this parade of scared children is from Wichita Falls, Texas. His name is Sean. He watched the video and it scared him so bad that he had nightmares and now he sleeps on the floor.
And this comes up frequently. He reminds his mother that they had to take the box spring out of his bed so that he could sleep on the floor. And this kid's like 12.
Yeah, he locked all the windows. Apparently, he got empty boxes and stuffed his closet full so nothing could get in there.
This poor kid. And the thing with this kid is his mom wasn't trying to scare him with Wrinkles.
No. Like,
he just was watching Wrinkles content on YouTube. Don't let your kid go on YouTube.
Did you ever have something that scared you like this when you were a kid? Like this bad, where you felt unsafe in your own house?
Everything. I still don't like to have my feet hang off the edge of my bed. Biggest fear, though, was that a snake would bite you in the butt when you went to the bathroom at night. Did you have any weird fears?
I was terrified of Darth Vader because my mom took me to see Empire Strikes Back when I was 5.
I was terrified of Indiana Jones, if that gets you like a sense of how scared a child I was.
Well, the beginning, it has a little bit of creepiness to it, and the end is very scary with everybody getting melted.
See? Totally legit. But to the level of like my parents had to remove the box spring, I don't think my parents would have entertained that.
I got pretty scared of Darth Vader. My mom got us bunk beds and I was sleeping on the bottom bunk and she had me move to the top bunk so that I would be less scared for somehow. And I remember telling, like, I had a nightmare soon after I moved to the top bunk. And she was like, but you moved to the top bunk so you didn't have to be scared of Darth Vader. And I remember saying, I was probably like 6 or 7 years old, he's just bigger now.
Honestly, Darth Vader would probably have an easier time getting you from the top bunk than the bottom bunk.
Yeah.
We do know that he does like to kill children.
Thank God I didn't know that on top of everything else.
Imagine children born after the second trilogy came out. Now they know that Darth Vader will kill kids.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, we meet another clown.
Oh, God.
We meet Funky the Clown. And Funky is very critical of parents who scare children.
Real clowning is putting on grease paint makeup, putting the money into the costumes, into your craft, having the right kind of heart. And your goal is to make people smile, make people laugh. That's a lot harder than scaring people.
But Funky, you are scaring kids.
Funky's scaring me, and I am 43 years old. No, thank you, Funky.
And then we hear from Benjamin Radford, who's the author of a book called Bad Clowns. And we get a pop culture litany of scary clowns from Batman and Poltergeist and Saw and American Horror Story and all these sorts of things. And then Funky says that there's a whole generation that's grown up with no positive image of a clown. Society is falling apart. Kids just don't have any positive clown role models anymore.
No. And he says,
slap on a mask, you have this empowerment to make people react to you, you know? And that's a powerful thing, you know? But that's what terrorism is.
Real clowns are not scary.
And then, as if to further completely invalidate this, the documentary cuts to John Wayne Gacy.
Right.
Who, as a reminder, liked to put on a clown suit and entertain children.
Children that he then murdered. At least he didn't eat them. Good times.
Wrinkle says that no one was interested in hiring him when he was a regular clown. So he found this mask on eBay that kind of looks like a cross between Michael Myers and his grandfather.
He's got one ugly grandfather.
Well, I think the last child that we meet is Rena from Georgia.
And she is a self-professed comedian.
Yes, at age 10.
Yes, it's so cute.
She was 8 when she heard about wrinkles.
And she is in a very Georgia part of Georgia. There's some Confederate flags and lots of crosses. It's very Georgia.
She has a unique reaction to wrinkles. She says that she was very freaked out that wrinkles was going to come to her house, but she's trying to fight back.
Yes.
So she leaves a very strange voicemail for Wrinkles telling him that she's going to fight him.
What you want, bro? You want to fight? Come over to Georgia, okay? I have a mama that's crippled, but I can still fight back. I have a dog that's named Halo. Where is she?
Who cares about you? I care about God. Do you care about the devil or something?
She's kind of awesome. She is a spunky child.
She says that she thinks Wrinkles is killing children and then using their blood to paint artwork on the wall. And we get reenactment of Wrinkles doing this.
He's covered in, I'm going to say, quote unquote, blood.
And then we cut back to Wrinkles in his RV.
Eating French fries.
He says, Florida is just a giant fucking swamp of houses and shops nobody needs. And then we see him inside a strip club. which he complains about not going to as much as he'd like because it costs money.
And he dreams about finding a girl to settle down with. But what would they do? Come back to his camper van?
Right. Well, we see him go into somebody's yard and hide behind a tree and then kind of peek out. And then it cuts to cell phone footage of a woman inside this house. And the kids see this person out there and they all yell and scream. And then it turns out that Sean is watching this video with his mom. And he says that he's not scared of wrinkles anymore because he got so scared, he's not scared of anything anymore.
It's sort of like being tickled so much that you stop being ticklish.
I guess so.
Then we go back to Jarrett, who has procured a clown mask and a fake knife.
His dad says that it's like Jarrett turns into somebody else when he has the mask on, which is a sign that you don't want your kid to have a mask.
This is going to be admissible in court one day, isn't it?
It feels like it. We cut back to Wrinkles and he's getting text messages asking him if he wants a blowjob. And he replies back and says, no, stop texting me, while he does a large print word search. And then says,
I'm just kind of living out my last years. I don't know if there'll be a Wrinkles legacy, so to speak. I think it'll just be like, hey, remember that one time we called that clown? That was scary.
In his voicemail message, isn't even really scary.
No.
The messages that he receives are scary, though.
Oh my God, every one of those kids needs therapy.
We get a montage of people threatening to kill him and shoot him, and one of the people who leaves a message is a boy who says that he wants to shove Wrinkles into a pond filled with alligators. And as he says this, we get B-roll of an alligator with red and white polka dot pants in its mouth.
Nice touch.
Well, Wrinkles says that it doesn't matter who's behind the mask. Wrinkles is Wrinkles.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to Wrinkles at his RV.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that Wrinkles is unmasked, and he's an actor named D.B. Lambert.
Yep.
D.B. Lambert is not actually Wrinkles.
Nope.
This documentary has been fucking with us for the first 49 minutes.
Yep. This documentary is basically Rickrolling you.
It's rink rolling.
It's a prank. And he says he embodies what Wrinkles would look like. And that if people knew who was under the mask, it would ruin the experience. Just like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, we get this dark room with a voice modulator to hide his identity. I'm not really sure that I trust that this is Wrinkles either. Like, fool me once, movie.
You're not going to fool me again.
No, we don't get fooled again.
Right.
Wrinkles says that,
you know, the actor that was chosen to represent the myth of Wrinkles under the mask, I think was a perfect match. I think he embodies what Wrinkles would look like. You know, is this guy nice? Is this guy going to murder me? And that's kind of how Wrinkles is. You don't know. At the end of the day, Wrinkles is just a guy in a mask and a suit. And these kids and these people are taking the Wrinkles character and molded it into what they want it to be.
Which is like, okay, fine, but then why are there still 28 minutes left of this documentary?
Agreed. So the first 50 minutes of this was stupid and pointless, and I hate everyone involved. I got mad. My notes for the rest of it are very sparse. I was indignant.
One thing that I'll give this person credit for is that he talks about how he's not a fan of parents using this to scare children, but it's not really that far off from how it's already socially acceptable to scare your children with the idea of hell.
That's an intriguing thought, isn't it?
Wrinkles plays all this off as kind of a sociological experiment, and he's maybe not totally wrong, because once it hit Fallon, he says people recognized that he was getting a lot of attention and decided they were going to go in the woods dressed up as a clown and scare people too. Oh my God, Wrinkles is responsible for that?
And I remember that because we lived in the South, and it was in South Carolina, and I think it was 2016. And there was like all of these sightings of creepy clowns, and I don't think these clowns actually did anything, but people were legitimately afraid of them.
Wrinkles says kids are carrying around machetes with clown masks. Like, so you've seen Jarrett? There was a rumor at Penn State that clowns were on campus. And so we get this footage of over 500 students running around shouting, fuck that clown.
Yeah.
Fuck that clown! Fuck that clown! Fuck that clown! Fuck that clown!
It was a whole thing, at least in the mid-Atlantic. The whole region seemed to be obsessed with clowns for some period of time.
Around this time was when they had started teasing that they were going to make a movie of It.
Oh.
And so I thought I had heard something about, like, it was somehow tied into, like, viral promotion for that. But if it's not Wrinkles, this documentary doesn't present us with any other theory for why clowns took off the way they did.
Clowns are sort of inherently creepy, but this does seem like a natural offshoot of Wrinkles. Like, Wrinkles achieved a certain level of popularity, and copycat Wrinkles sprung up all over the country.
Yeah. We cut back to Jarrett, who shows us that he has drawn a picture of a clown holding a knife, and the clown is saying, would you rather die or die? You have 5 seconds to pick, or your head will be laying on the sand.
And I thought that would just be kind of funny and creepy at the same time.
Jarrett's family needs to call 911.
Jarrett's family at least needs to take away the masks and the fake knives.
Jarrett needs the Lord.
I didn't look up to see if Jarrett had made the news yet. And the documentary just limps to an end at this point.
Yeah.
Wrinkles says that maybe the fun parts of Wrinkles will live on. He's really only provided a small bit of information about Wrinkles, and then everybody else takes it and does with it what they will.
Yay. This was boring. All my notes now are just me writing the word boring over and over again.
I feel like the movie in some ways maybe had to mess with us, because if there hadn't been that original opening part, this would have just been nothing.
Right. Well, Dave, what did you learn?
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
I don't trust Wrinkles. I don't trust who he is or not who he is. So my theory is that Wrinkles is Banksy.
Oh, that's possible.
Or Banksy is Wrinkles?
Hmm.
I think I've learned Banksy's real identity.
So you are saying that Banksy is Wrinkles?
Yes.
And that Wrinkles is his real identity? Or that Banksy is Wrinkles' real identity?
I'm saying that Wrinkles is a further art project of Banksy's.
Okay. So you still can't describe what Banksy looks like, though.
No, but we know he lives in Naples now. Which is not what I would have predicted.
No. If I had to guess where Banksy would never set foot, Naples, Florida would be on that list.
What about you? Did you learn anything?
Well, I actually ended up in like a dark, dark rabbit hole about John Wayne Gacy.
Well.
So like this documentary said his name. So any further exploration of John Wayne Gacy did not come out of this documentary. So if you're like, I'm going to watch this for the great John Wayne Gacy content, you will not find it here. But I did learn a lot about John Wayne Gacy. Like he killed at least 33 people, and he was really, really messed up.
Even a bad documentary about John Wayne Gacy would be more interesting than this documentary about Wrinkles.
John Wayne Gacy has to be one of the most colorful serial killers. Ted Bundy had a shtick too, but John Wayne Gacy, like killing people while dressed as a clown, that's like a very specific nightmare.
I feel like Bundy has gotten all the attention.
Bundy had the whole, he escaped from prison multiple times. He was like super good looking.
Yeah.
All of that. But yeah, John Wayne Gacy killed like 33 people in 2 years' time span.
It's not good.
No, he was, can't even believe he's a real person that actually happened. That level of creepy.
Yeah.
I learned never to trust a documentary because this wasn't a documentary. This was an extension of performance art.
It feels more like it was a amateur film project than a real documentary.
Yeah. I guess the filmmakers are like smugly like, ha ha ha, we tricked you into thinking this was actually about Wrinkles.
Mm-hmm.
I have mentally noted your names, and I will not watch any future documentaries by you.
Yeah, Michael Beach Nichols is the director. When they kept showing him, I don't know if you had a similar reaction to this, but I kept thinking that he looked like Santa Claus.
Yes.
He's got a Santa Claus-esque beard, and he's got a little bit of a belly. He's in Florida. He felt like an off-duty Santa Claus to me, like this actor.
Yes, totally. And I did notice they started out where they were only showing like the back of his head, and then it was like the bottom of his chin. And then as the documentary kept going, you saw more and more of his face. So we should have been able to see this coming.
What I assumed that was happening was like, well, maybe at some point he decides he's just going to go ahead and reveal his full identity or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was mad. We watched 50 minutes of this, and all of this is just a bullshit fictional character study of who Wrinkles would be.
Right. Oh, this made me mad.
Well, what doesn't make me mad is our theme song.
No, it's delightful.
Which is Mexicana Massacre by Tomb Dragomir off of his album Instrumental Psycho Synth.
And what we also don't hate are reviews for our podcast left wherever you download your podcasts, and also engagement from you, our fans, on Facebook at Super True Stories or on Twitter at Super True Story.
And we don't hate our friends at the Projection Booth and at 6 Foot Plus, two fine podcasts you should check out if you haven't already done so. And Jamie, I would like to submit you, in fact, are not down to clown.
The clown that directed this? I'm not down to clown with him.
Indeed. Well, maybe next time. Well, who am I trying to kid? We're going to watch something awful next time, too. It just probably won't be clown-based.
Oh, I need a vacation from clowns, I think.
All right. I think we can manage that. And until then, I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.